prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball to him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all.
So we will read the scriptures in a minute after we pray. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, I ask that you be with me as I preach, that it has nothing to do with me, you, but it has something to do with your word. And yeah, we want people to understand it's all about you. We meet here to worship you. We thank you. We depend on you for salvation. It's you who protects us and provides us and let's just live in a country that is free for the moment. And we thank you so much for the lives you've given us. We got to live at a pretty good time of history. We've all done pretty well as far as being able to feed our families and have automobiles and houses to live in. And your graciousness is just too much for me. Thank you so much for dying for us on Calvary's cross. Every time I think about it, I can't think about it long without bringing tears to my eyes. For as we sing at the end of our service, if you could see what I once was, you would now see a miracle before you. And nobody knows that better than me. Thank you for those who are among us for the first time. May they come again, watch us on the webcam. Tell people what we preach here, because we preach nothing but the Bible. Our interest in bringing people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We don't have any programs or any this, that, or the other. All we know is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And as Paul said, that's what I preach. That's what I tell people. Thank you again for those who have come. We thank you for those in the hospital, that you will be near them and touch them. Be with Carlisle as he recuperates from that serious surgery, and be with Tommy Monday morning and his doctors as they go through his procedure. And for Jay with his and others here who are sick, Ruby Blythe in the rest area, we ask that you touch her. Just thank you for your goodness and your love, and for those who allow us to be here. In Christ Jesus' name I pray, and for his sake, amen.
Amen.
So we find here in the 14th verse, we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, Paul says. Sold under sin. If you're sold under sin, that makes you a slave to sin, doesn't that? Today, sin is not a bad word as it used to be. You don't hear it as much anymore. As a matter of fact, people have graded sin like they're in charge of it, and they say, well, I don't murder anybody. I didn't think you did. I don't do this. I don't do that. Have you noticed what people call real sin is just below what they do? Just below what they do. And you and I do that too, either physically or we do it mentally. For that which I do, here's the Bud Abbott and Lou Costello starting. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Please understand, when the Bible says flesh, it's not talking about your skin. is talking about your carnal nature or sinful nature. You are born with a sinful nature. Leave a baby alone and he will spit in your face. He will throw green beans at you. He will steal cookies. He will slap his younger brother. He'll, from the age of a couple of months up, he becomes worse and worse and worse. That's why the Bible says to raise up a child in the way he should go, which flies in the face of everything we're taught on raising kids by our government. You spank a kid, they'll take the kid away from you. Isn't that wonderful? See, boy, I'd have been gone when I was little. Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. See, I got so many whippings, I thought my name was Hickok. It was emblazoned on my rear end. My daddy didn't talk much except when he was preaching. And when he said no, I learned real quick, no meant no, yes meant yes. Don't do it meant don't do it. People don't understand that today. I'm in favor of doing what Israel does. In Israel, if you finish high school, first of all, you studied because they don't play with you. And if you finish high school, you immediately go into service for 2 years, man or woman, because very few high school graduates have sense enough to cross the street alone, and they know that. If you've talked to any lately, you know that. And not to be coddled, they're to be disciplined and they're to be taught. And by putting them in the army for 2 years when they finish high school, they grow up real quick. And they don't have the foolishness that we have on our streets where we give you a warning ticket and a summons or whatever. You can vote for whoever you want to, but whether he gets in or not, I hope Trump gets all the gang members and gets them out of here, and gets them out of here quick. They have no business living among sane people. They have no business living among Christian people. They have no business not abiding by the laws of the country they live in. It's an agreement. If you live here, you do it our way. If you don't want to do it our way, then don't live here. It's very simple. I don't know how liberal people got so insane that they thought that wasn't a truth. But that is a truth and the way things ought to be done. Now then, Paul says, it's no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. That's an unusual statement, isn't it? He said, well, I've got sin in me. I want to do what's right, but I just can't. I don't want to do what's wrong, but I do it anyhow. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. That's simply a picture of your mind and mine, is it not? So he ends up, if you'll keep the struggle reading the rest of the verses, you'll find that when you get to verse 21, verse 24. O wretched man that I am, who should deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. That's your picture and my picture, because we want to do what's right, and 5 minutes later we find ourselves sinning again, don't we? Yeah. Just because you got saved doesn't make you sinless. It makes you sin less. There's a difference in the two. You still have the Adamic nature. You still will be attacked by demons. You still will face the trials of life. You will still be faced with all the temptations that you see and are faced with on a daily basis. And you cannot live in this world and get away from that. Well, if I still sin, does that mean I'm not saved? No. When you were bringing up your little baby, when you tried to teach him to walk and he took 3 steps and then busted his lip, did you kick him out of the family? Or did you pick him up and dust him off and say, let's try that again? Of course, you picked him up and said, let's try that again. finally he learns what's right and does it on his own. That's what God does with us. We're justified, and when we accept Christ as Savior, as Paul said, Jesus Christ, that's the answer to the deliverance problem, and that's the answer to getting on the right path and staying there. The struggle that we read is every man's struggle. You have it, and I have it. Why? Because we're still sinners saved by grace that we will sin, sing at the end of the service. I had a friend, and he's with the Lord now, and he was a lay preacher, and he was a barber. And he used to give me the worst haircuts in the world, but they were free, so I'd go anyway. So, you know. So, you don't need a haircut. You ain't going. And he used to say, I'll tell you one thing, you hang around the barbershop long enough, you'll get a haircut. I've run a barbershop for 25 years. People are coming in here just to visit and just to gossip and just to talk and all that. But I know for long, he'll be in that chair. All we got to do is keep being friendly to him. He'll see everybody else getting a haircut, and he either gets guilty or sees that he's really ugly, and he'll jump up in that chair before it's over with. Same with you. You can't continue to take your sinful nature that's within you to places where you shouldn't be and not expect to be tempted, and tempted enough, you will fall. Don't go there. Very simple. Don't go there. You watch ads on TV, please point one out. Call me so I can watch it too if you find one that doesn't involve sex. I said, well, just exactly what is it are you selling? There's some you never get to the product, do you? Them honeys are looking too good. Pontiac had an ad one time. I never did get to the car. I mean, you know. Don't grin at me. You do the same thing. I loved Ken Smith last week. He told on himself, did he not? He said, I still look at the girls at the Walmart checkout. I'm going to have to tell him it's a better place to shop. But, I mean, if you really want to look, I can take you around here. We get some coming in here about the 5th of July. They'd have to put something on to be called naked. I mean, it's something. About August, all of us that live here are saying, boy, wouldn't she look good in a dress? The rest of them look at the girls and say, boy, I hope she has a bikini. I said, man, I hope she puts something on. I've seen more of her. I need to see her already. And I make a deal with the ladies here, love all the ladies, you know that. But I make a deal every year this summer. Ladies over 50, okay? Just over 50, we love you. If you won't wear a bikini, I won't wear my Speedo. And we'll just put some clothes on when we come up here, if it'll be all right. And you'll enjoy that. But you see, that's a natural man, is it not? Isn't it funny that now men buy more cosmetics than women? Perfume and all this stuff, for the first time they have exceeded the men. Now, you're going to have to define men. I thanked our mayor, Marilyn, Marilyn Hatley. I always love Marilyn. She's precious. And she finally built us some new outhouses out here. And we have three. In keeping with the thinking of our country, men, women, and undecided. Because now you don't know who you're talking to anymore, do you? And anybody date Caitlin is sick. All right, I'm telling you, there are two genders. They're called male and female. There's no third gender, and you're not gonna make one. see, homosexuality is a sin condemned by God. It is a stench in the nostrils of God, this book says, and you aren't going to change it just because you want to flit around and be a girl. It ain't going to happen. What you need to do is get in this book, get yourself saved, get away from that temptation, and the Lord will deliver you from that. See? Right? So we find out here that Paul is saying, look, I'm struggling. I don't know what to do. I can't fight the temptations I see. I try to be good and all of a sudden I'm falling. And when you try to do good, you find yourself sometimes doing worse than you ever did. And it drives you crazy, does it not? I hope every night when you say your prayers, I know I do, Lord, forgive me of my sins of this day. No use to go over them. But I know they're there, and you know they're there, and I am sorry, and please forgive me for whatever I did or whatever I contemplated doing or my thoughts sometimes are sinful. And I just want to make sure that is covered by your blood. And he said it is. Don't worry. If you were here last Sunday, you heard Ken Smith talk about his friend who just needed to get saved. Little Brown, what's his name? Geechee Brown. And he said, he said, if I find him, I'm going to tell him, don't worry, Geechee, it's all right. And the devil will have you beating yourself to death over something you did 50 years ago. Have you worried about it? Oh, I wonder, there's a song, a good gospel song, the three members of the quartet in Tabernacle Baptist Church used to sing, and the Burns Quartet, all three of them. I never did figure that out. And, Michael Johnson, what was his name, the one that danced and did everything?
Jackson.
Huh?
Jackson.
Why do you know that, Becky? And what's his name, Michael what?
Jackson.
Michael Jackson. No wonder he went crazy. He was the sixth member of the Jackson 5. Right? I mean, that'd drive you nuts all your life, would it not? Wondering who you were. And so you find yourself worrying about things the Lord's forgot about. And the quartet in Greenville used to sing it about a man who was sinful and went to the Lord and he was confessing his sin, but he was saved. And he said, but Lord, I remember so-and-so and so-and-so, and Jesus looked at him and said, what sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. I said, amen. The only thing you can accuse Jesus of having a fault in is he's got a bad memory.
Thank you, Jesus.
And boy, am I glad. And boy, are you glad. Because according to this book, thinking about something as bad as doing it, that's strict, isn't it? That's hard, isn't it? Well, how does that work? I don't have enough power to do that. Nobody said you did. I just read you the answer. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Our sins are forgiven. They're also forgotten. They're covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the only thing that will forgive sin.
That's right.
All the religions of the world are a joke because they're just a religion. A religion will not save you. Yeah, just because you were born and raised at Taco Bell does not make you a Mexican. All right? The only thing that's going to save you is you understand that the Lord Jesus Christ shed his blood on Calvary's cross, and by faith you accepted that atonement. By faith you accepted the forgiveness he offered, and by faith you are saved. By his grace of God, through faith, you get saved. No other way. You can do 100 knee squats and 14 other things and go through all these rituals, and they will not help you at all. Won't do it. Don't even add to it. There's a program coming on. Have you seen the promo, the whatever you call the previews to it? Religion around the world. is God here? And they show all the Hindus and the Muslims and the, you know, all that's useless. There's one way, there's one Lord, there's one faith, there's one baptism. And if you don't understand that and have that, you get to go to one hell. Well, I just don't believe a loving God would send anybody to hell. Bad news. Bad news. For you. For the one way to have your sins forgiven. For the one way to be taken from that struggle. And to have peace, it says over here, is to have Christ in your life and in your heart. I had somebody today, and they weren't the only one. I've had somebody the other day tell me, and I'm like, who? Sophie Tucker. Sophie Tucker said, I've been rich and I've been poor. Rich is better. Not necessarily. I've been rich and I've been poor. Rich is more convenient. Not necessarily better. The little old lady on a log cabin in the middle of Tennessee mountains who knows Jesus and can't read anything but the Bible, she's a lot happier than anybody on the New York Stock Exchange. Because they might fail. She can't.
Amen.
You see. And there are people who teach, and they're good people, and they're good preachers. They just aren't good theologians. Well, what if you lose your salvation? I can't lose my salvation. My salvation isn't mine. My salvation is of the Lord. It's His salvation. He just took me in. I've had them argue with me about that, not long. But they'll say, well, what if you're in a boat and you fall off? Then you're not safe anymore, are you? I said, what if you're in a boat and then they make you part of the boat? You can't fall off. You're part of the boat. Son, when I accept Christ as my Savior, I become part of His family.
Amen.
Right? And they say, well, we laugh before church, you know, what denomination you are. There are no denominations. Denominations are man-made. Most of them are made because a man was mad. Well, my grandmother gave the land that this church was built on, and we're going to have blue carpet. That was her favorite color. I've known people to fight and split a church over things like that. I know of two deacons, one hit the other in the head with a two before, right in front of the pulpit. Over nothing. They'll do it to you. About coming here. What do you mean? I love Ken Smith. He said he was at a big meeting down in Charleston, one of these organized meetings. I don't get invited to a whole lot of them. And they elected him president of something or another. And he said, all the preachers, you know, they love Ken because he's so such a wonderful minister. And they said, Ken, where are you going next? Because he's steady going somewhere, see. So where are you going to preach next? He looked at him, said, at a bar in Myrtle Beach. Guy was a Baptist. He liked to faint. I mean, he's grabbing his heart like Sanford. At a bar in Myrtle Beach. Yeah. Called Church of the Lost and Found. See, he said, I got a crazy friend that preaches up there that doesn't know any better than to preach in a bar. And he found a spot to preach in near the ocean. And people will ask him, he's talking about me, said, where is your church in Myrtle Beach? Do you have a church? I said, oh, yeah, yeah. Well, where is it located? I said, I got a $9 million church right on the beach. This place sold for $9 million. A friend of mine owned it, Fred Collins. This isn't a church. This is a building. That's not a church up the street. It's a tin building. You hear people, I just love my church. No, you don't. See, how do you love a building? Let me see you hug it. Let me see it console you when you're sad. Let me see it t- take care of your needs. Come on, Brick, do something. Don't just sit there. Excuse me? Well, then what is the church? Listen careful. The church is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Once I become born again, I'm taken and adopted into His family. Now listen real good. And when God the Father looks at me, or looks at you now that you are saved, He sees you exactly as He sees His only begotten Son. I heard somebody read the poem on the radio on the way up here. I got the station out of Florence, and my dad used to quote it a lot. It'd say, near, so very near to God, I can no nearer be. For in the person of His Son, I'm just as near as He. And dear, so very dear to God, I can no dearer be. For in the person of His Son, I'm just as dear as He. And you have that struggle, and the devil knows it. He doesn't know everything, but he'll catch you struggling, and then he'll leap upon you, and you'll get all sad and think how rotten you are. I'm not rotten. I'm born again. I am saved. Look the word up. When you're saved, you're not drowning. They don't have lifeguards running up and down the beach saving people getting suntans. They have them saving the people who are dying, and then they put them in a place where there's no water, where they won't die. It's pretty simple, is it not? It's what Jesus does. But Lord, I've sinned. He said, look, do you know who I am? I know everything there is, everything there was, and everything there's going to be. Take time, shut up, and listen to me. You believe in me? Yes, you are mine. You can't get out. You are mine for eternity. I don't care what you do, what you say, what you try to not do. You are my kid. Why would He do that? Because the price has been paid. You can go up and eat today at the K&W, Canes and Walkers, or and any what's the one up the street here? Benefit Hoskins. And you can order a plate of food and get, you know, the chicken and the rice and the beans, and here we go, and they bring this and all that, and you can get up and not eat it. You got to pay for it, but you don't have to eat it. It's yours. Jesus said, I've paid for your sins. Quit trying to do my job. Quit trying to be good. Well, I'll still want to. No, you won't. Paul tells you Jesus has delivered you from the struggle. There's no struggle. I do it all the time. As soon as you become a Christian, they put a target on your back. The devil puts it there. Now you're a marked man. Become a preacher and you'll... target will enlarge, and they'll attack you from everywhere. And it'll happen to me. I got to remember where it says the armor of God, to take the shield of faith, to the fiery darts. That came from the Romans. The Romans had a couple of shields. They had one big as a door, took two men to carry, and it would be wooden, and it would be covered with leather, and then it would be soaked in water, because of the opponents would shoot flaming arrows, and they'd just, you know, form the turtle. They'd come at you by the hundreds. They'd be in a box. They carry in the box. Everybody had the shield, but they had a little shield. And the little shield you could do like this. And that was for the fiery darts coming at you from the side. And Jesus said, look, use your faith to ward off the fiery darts of Satan. And I have to pray that very often. Lord, I feel them coming. I feel them coming. I actually feel them coming. Not crazy. But please, stand between me and them. and help me defeat what's coming. I don't know what they want other than to upset me, to keep me from preaching, or to put something in my life that will disrupt my family, so it will disrupt what we're trying to do. That's what they do to preachers. That's what the devil does, try to get you in trouble. He's very good at it. And he puts thoughts and ideas in your head. I can't be possessed by a demon, but I can be aggravated by one. So can you. But when that starts, do what I do. Lord Jesus, I can't whip. I don't know how many there are. I can't sing them. But I know they're on the way, and I would like you, if you would, to ward them off, send them back to hell. I'm trying to study. I'm trying to learn as much as I can about you so I can tell people who may not know the story. And I may be faced with people who are going to hell tomorrow morning, and I want to be able to explain to them clearly that that struggle can end tomorrow morning. That by faith, if they will put their faith in what you did on Calvary's cross, their sins are forgiven and forgotten, and this book says will never be brought up again. There's so much bad theology on television and in the world, it'll drive you nuts. They'll have you believing you're going to stand before judgment, and they're going to see what you did wrong, and come ahead in, sir. We're glad to have you. And that you're going to be in the judgment, and they're going to read the list of your sins. Excuse me. There is no list of my sins. They were erased by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. When God the Father looks at me, I'm looked at through the filter of the blood of Christ, and all he can see is his Son. Thank you. The Bible says that the saved man doesn't have to worry because his sins will never be brought up again. Hallelujah. You say, well, what about the judgment? Well, there's more than one. The judgment you go into, if you're a Christian, is called the Bema. The Bema was a table like this over here, and they'd move it around. It was portable, and they'd use it at athletic events that have the Bema judgment. And the winners of the, like the Olympics, guy who won the race or the wrestling or whatever, he'd be called up to the Bema, to the judgment table. And there he would be given his award. That's a place of rewards, the Bema judgment. That's what Christians are going to. The great throne, white throne judgment, is 1,000 years later. 1,000 years later, if you're at that one, don't worry. You ain't going to heaven. It's not to see if you're going to heaven. You're already going to hell. That's just to see what part you live in. See, that's all that is. There are grades of rewards in heaven. There are degrees of punishment in hell. God's very fair. And let me give you something that you might want to write down in your head and think about real good. You don't have to believe the Bible. You don't have to accept Christ. He is very fair. You don't even have to acknowledge him. Because at that judgment, he's going to give you exactly what you deserve. Don't worry about it. You're going to get what you deserve. But I've been a good man. There's no good man. You were sinless, were you? No. Sinless now, are you? I heard a preacher on TV. I couldn't turn it quick enough. He was talking about taking communion. And then I took communion. They believe in having it every Sunday. And I took the bread and I took the wine, and for the first time in my life, I felt sinless. You better take another drink of that wine because you ain't sinless. You ain't sinless. You're sinful as the rest of us. See, so you don't have to fall off the Empire State Building but once. Anything over 5 stories, you're dead. whether it's 15, 25, or 50, same result. Same thing with sin. If you've sinned once, you're out of the airplane. Okay. You're out. You're gone. It doesn't mean that you're going to thump the ground there as hard as the guy that jumped at 30,000 feet. Same result. Same result. Hell the same way. The best part of hell can't even get near the worst part of heaven.
Amen.
Two different things. Thank God I only can read about it. I'm so glad I'll never see it. I'm sorry that it had to be. So is Jesus. It cost him his life. How sad it is that there has to be a place of eternal torment because people wouldn't believe God. That's the problem with our country today. You can trace all of our major problems to the fact that the Bible was kicked out of school, that parents do not take their children to church anymore, and we have a generation of heathens growing up, and it only takes one to do away with everything Christianity has built in over 2,000 years. One generation. I believe we're here. I believe we're it. It's not the America I knew. It's not the land I was brought up in. We don't follow the rules that were taught to me. We don't act in the... I laugh at, I go up to Ella's and eat a lot. By the way, all of you who gave me credit at Ella's, thank you. Several people went ahead and paid ahead, and others gave me like a check that said, you know, $30 or whatever. And I go up and eat. Now, we do not want to keep that blessing from anybody. Anytime you and Ellis, if you want to put down $20, $30 and tell them hold that for Beaver, they're more than glad to do that. They're my friend. But I live in a country now that doesn't love God.
Amen.
I see my little grandbaby, she's going to start second grade or whatever, and I'm going to make sure she's in a Christian school. I wouldn't send her a public school for all the money in the world. If I have to quit eating, she's going to Christian school. Where did America, founded by people who came here for the express purpose of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ through this new land, how did we get to where we are? Now I heard on the radio coming up here, they have a bill that you can't have a Bible in a library. Not a whole lot of people go to the library to read the Bible anyhow, but just the thought that of the thousands of books in the library, the one you're going to ban is the only one that counts. How sad. How'd we get there? What did we do? Well, we were in this struggle Paul was in, and we lost the war. We didn't stand up and fight. Do you know what would happen to the political offices if every Christian just voted for a Christian? Do you know what would happen to abortion if every Christian voted against abortion? I used to use 7-Elevens, that I'm not picking on the name, you know, they got them 8 to 12, 4 to 6, you know. They came out, and it was a convenience stores, what they named them, and that was good and all. And it used to be, when I was in high school, Jack will verify this, and Lewis, they used to sell Playboy under the counter, right? And you had to be 21 to buy it. And you come in and you see people come in and buy the Playboy magazine and that be under the counter because they couldn't sell that just to anybody. And they didn't want anybody to know they were selling that trash in their store, so they'd hide it. Now a child buys the ice cream and he's got to look at two lesbians doing what they do, four homosexuals. I mean, you know, he can get a sexual education buying a Coca-Cola. I've told more than one, aren't you ashamed of yourself? About what? About this trash you put in front of children. Same answer, every store. I'm just doing my job. I just, you know. What if when they started that, every Christian in this city had gone in that convenience store and said, we're not buying anything. We're just going to sit here all day to get them magazines out of here. I guarantee that I had them out of there and in a hurry. Well, that's not being fair. Nobody said the Bible was fair. Said it was true.
Amen.
Said it was true. Yeah, thank you. That's my amen corner right here. So we have got ourselves in an unmanageable mess. And if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, we're not jumping on you. We're here to help you. The cry of the sinner is, why don't those Christians leave us alone? We're trying to help you. Well, we need to shut them up on the radio, and we don't need, they're going to get on me when I preach out here this summer, whether they like it or not. Here come the atheists, you know. I love to run into an atheist. Some of them have a very high IQ. IQ won't help you in hell. Okay. And I get that argument over real quick. So you're an atheist. Yeah. How old are you? 52. How long you been an atheist? 50 years. Started young, did you? Okay. And I said, well, let me give you the definition of a fool. What? A fool is somebody that spends 50 years fighting something they don't believe exists. That's an atheist, isn't it? Why would you spend 50 years fighting something that you don't believe exists? You don't try to eat food that isn't there, do you? You don't try to ride in a car you don't have, do you? Then why are you fighting against something you don't believe exists? You're the fool. Well, you shouldn't call people a fool. That's what Jesus called them. That's what Jesus called them. And we are the cleanup committee, I call us. We're the last group. I believe, Ken Smith believes. Dr. Stanley believes. Dr. Jeremiah believes. John Hagee believes. All the good ones believe we are the generation that will see the return of the Lord. We can't prove that. But I promise you, when you hear 15-somethings howling in the backyard, roo, and barking, boop, boop, like Hillary, I'm not as good as that shit. See? You don't have to go out there to know it's a dog out there, do you? You don't have to see him. You don't have to go out there. Just for what's going on, you know, as a dog in the yard. You know that, don't you? See? And what we see setting up, the apocalyptic scene, Revelation, Ezekiel, when you see these names called out that are happening now, these people at war that the Bible says is coming, when you see people chopping people's heads off, how long has it been before these idiots with the towels on their heads started cutting people's heads off and didn't have a towel? How long has it been, have you heard anybody being decapitated? Did it strike you as strange when this started? The Bible said in Revelation, they'll be cutting their heads off. Those who hate the Bible say, well, that can't be so. Wait, we shoot people now. We're uptown. Oh, they're just as dead. Does it matter? But how in the world did we get to the point where now we're cutting people's heads off again? How did we get so pagan? How did we get so psychopathically warped that 1.6 billion people think it's okay to crucify Christians? And it's just starting. We in for a big fight. Jerry Falwell, I met Jerry a time or two, and his son now runs the University of Liberty. And chapel the other day, you get thousands of people going to school there. He said, if you do not have a gun, get one. Oh, the liberals sit there. Oh, you don't. Why will I want a gun? Stay alive. It's coming. They're coming for us. They're coming for you. They're coming for me. Well, Christians shouldn't do that. I beg your pardon. Would you like me to show you where Jesus told Peter, where are you going? Well, I'm going on a mission thing, and now he said, you got a sword? He said, no. He said, get one. Even if you have to sell the clothes off your back, get one. Jesus Christ. Why? The lost have no pity on the found. Do you know who we are to the rest of the group out here? We're foolish. They laugh at us. They're not coming down there. Beaver down there holding church, he calls it. There's no church, it's a bar. I'm sure you know the difference. Right. Isn't it funny people can find time to do anything but come to church? It got so bad after a while, I just numbered the excuses. We have friends coming to the beach, number two. We, here they go. And they give me these, I'm sorry I wasn't there last Sunday. What happened was, I said, I know nine, right? See? If we'd been giving away free Cadillacs, you'd have been here. What's important to you? Used to be Wednesday night, you go down any street in the South, and all the porch lights were on because the people were going to church. Now you can drive street after street and see no lights. Church has become choir practice. Why'd you quit praying? I love the choir, and that's good. I enjoy singing, and it adds to the service and all that. But if I get a choice between praying and singing, I'm going to pray. Amen. Prayers get answered. Prayers get people freed of cancer. You're looking at one. Prayers get people through a five, whatever it is, my friend Carlisle had. Five, what do you call it? Quadruple. Four. One more. He's on the interstate system. Yeah. Quadruple. Four he had done.
Fourfold.
And I visited him, in the hospital before he went. You all right? And he's a big man, anyhow, and strong. Them big old hands. He took my hand. He said, yeah, I'm all right. I said, it's hard to read, be anxious for nothing, isn't it? What the Bible says for us to do. Boy, that's hard, isn't it? Keep reading. It says worry won't add an inch to your height. What's the biggest problem in people's heads today? Stress. So they go to a psychiatrist. Well, they get help. How do you get help from a profession, psychiatry, started by two people, Freud and the other one. One was a sex pervert, and the other committed suicide. That's who I want to take information from. How about you? Psychiatry has the highest suicide rate of any profession. And I'm supposed to lay down on the couch and listen to this idiot? He gets in trouble, he kills himself. If I'm shot one day, no, I didn't do it. Okay, look for somebody. But it wasn't me. You don't have to be too bright to not kill yourself, do you? Why do people do that? They don't believe in God. They don't trust. They have no faith. They don't know who Jesus Christ is, and they aren't trying to find out. Churches are empty. The big churches that were built in the 50s and 60s, you're going to be 25 people there. Charles Spurgeon from England shook two continents with his preaching, called the Prince of Preachers, one of the greatest preachers that ever lived. When they had mud instead of pavement on the streets of London, 2,500 people would come to prayer meeting in wagons and on horses in the rain and the mud. Didn't care. They'd be there. Sunday, you better get there early if you really want to be in the building. You better be early. Now Spurgeon's church in London calls it a good day if 25 people show up. What happened? Lost the struggle. I can't handle this. Somebody said, they asked somebody this week, was having trouble. I believe it was Kobe said he's talking to a friend, and he was woe be me, you know, woe be gone, like he had only troubles in the world. He got a home, he got a family, he's got a car, he got a job, he got two cars, he's got plenty to eat, he's overweight, and he thinks he's poor. Run that idiot to Haiti one weekend. Let him see some poor. Where kids buy cookies for a penny that are made of dirt. Yeah. We don't know how blessed we are. But we need to back up a minute and say, who can turn this around? Paul told you the Lord Jesus Christ can. Well, how's he going to do that? He was hoping to do it through you. It's not biblical. I can't find it in the Bible anywhere, but I make up a thing or two. Right? I'm sure two angels have gone to God and said, look, we're not trying to tell you what to do. We know who you are. We've seen you since eternity past. We saw you make that ball of dirt down there and wondered why you did it. We know Jesus went down there and they murdered him. We're glad to have him back. But look, let me and Ralph here go down there and straighten that mess up, because it wouldn't take but two. Really wouldn't take but one. Let us go straighten it out. And you can hear the Lord saying, no. My kids will take care of it. And the angels are saying, but they're not. What are they supposed to do? He said, I just want them to read the book. I just want them to go into all the world with the gospel and tell their friends and neighbors that you don't have to sin. You don't have to live with that struggle. You don't have to live with stress and anxiety. There's a peacemaker that you can get in touch with by praying, who will put your heart and mind at ease. So you only going to live 70, 80 years anyway, probably. What then? Wouldn't you like to know what then? 70 years passes like that. I just turned 79. I'm living in my 80th year. Do you really think I thought I'd live to be 80? I'm just like you. I thought death wasn't for me. I'll just go on like things have always been. No, you won't. You're going to get gray hair. Your teeth are going to fall out. You can hardly walk. You're going to get several sicknesses, and one day you are going to die. Woo! Don't blame me. It's not my program. Well, what are we going to do about it? Will you hand out some crosses this week? I mean, how hard is it? Somebody gave me the best little birthday card. Something I could understand. I don't understand modern art. I don't know whether to hold it this way or that way. Saturday Evening Post. Boy, I miss his paintings. He painted it real, didn't he? How hard is it to eat your meal at a restaurant, put the money down, and put that on top of it? If you can't talk and you can't witness, just that'll do. That'll do. You don't know what that'll do to somebody. So God can use anything to get somebody saved. He can use me. He can use Lewis. You hadn't got time, nor do you want to hear how we started. Woo! If you can go where I've been. If you go where I've been, you better take an AK-47, I'll tell you that. Can you not just give some of those out? Excuse me here. Let me show you what people will do. Anybody will do it, except him. That's why you throw two. He's not going to let it go up his nose. Have this. He ready now. He's again. And you just be nice. Every time I see kids when I go out to eat, I always get ready to give them that and don't give it to the kid without asking the parent. But I always say to the parent, is it okay if they have this? I hadn't had one to say, no, I don't want him involved in that. Say, fine, and I tell the little one, Mama will make you a necklace. She'll put a string through here and you can wear a necklace like I got. And they'll just grin. I didn't give it to the kid, I gave it to the mama. I gave it to the daddy, saying this is what you need to teach him. And if you won't, who will? It's illegal to teach him at school. Who's going to tell him about Jesus if you don't? How about your brother, your sister, your aunt, your uncle, your neighbor? Have you given them one? Have you mentioned, do you know what that really is? There's so many thousand ways to give this out, it's ridiculous. But if you quietly just leave one on top of the money, they'll pick it up. They want the money. And I don't care who it is, atheist, lost man, they'll look at that thing when they get in the dark by themselves, in the back, in the corner, and wonder what that cross really means. And if God's kids won't tell them, how they gonna find out? They're not coming here. Everybody at Fat Harrow's last night isn't here. Everybody at Duck's last night in here. Everybody in the church somewhere this morning, why not? That's God's house. Because they're not interested in God. I'm so glad you came, and from wherever you came from, God bless you for stopping in. If you're in a church, that's fine if it's a church that believes that book. If it's a church that does not believe that that's the Word of God, that Jesus Christ is God, that He's virgin born, that He died on the cross to pay for the sins of mankind, and that He's coming again to set up His kingdom here. If you don't have a preacher who preaches that, either get a new preacher or get a new church. You have no business there. And if you go to a church, you have every right to set a preacher down. Excuse me, sir, I'm looking for a church. Do you believe Jesus is God, that He's deity? Do you believe He was virgin born? Do you believe He died on Calvary's cross and shed His blood for the sins of mankind? And if I put my faith in Him, I'm forever saved and forgiven. And that He did die, was buried, and resurrected from the grave, bodily. And that He's coming again. Do you believe those simple six fundamentals of the faith? And is that what you preach? Because if you don't, well, it's good to have seen you. Thank you for your time. Get out of there.
Well, my mother went to that church.
Nobody cares. It's where you're going that's important to you.
Amen.
So we give you the opportunity. I'd like to give you a new house called a mansion in heaven. That's the place to stay. I'd like to give you peace in your heart. That comes through knowing God loves you. I would like to give you eternal rest, and that's not in a pretty little box somewhere that you paid more than you paid for your car and they put it in the ground. I'd like to give you the real thing. And that's called the Lord Jesus Christ. For without Him, you have nothing. Thank you for coming. Come back if you will. You can watch us on the webcam in your city. We start at 9. You can be out and go to your regular church by 11. That'll be okay. But watch us every now and then. Pray for us every now and then. And tell somebody about Jesus every now and then. Shall we pray? Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, how good You are. I marvel sometime at night and can't sleep, not worried, not anxious, not stressed. But I lie in awesome wonder at Your goodness, at Your graciousness, and I say, why me? Not that I'm anybody special, because I'm not. Not that You would just let me in Your heaven, because I don't even know why You would let me in. But I do know I love You. I do know I've asked forgiveness for all my sin. I know that I'm depending on Your death on Calvary's cross, Your bodily resurrection for my salvation. And I am like the Apostle Paul. I preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified, because I know as long as I believe that, I'm going to spend eternity in Your presence. And my mind almost explodes thinking of the wonders that You have in store for us that You haven't even told us about. Thank You for Your goodness. If there be one here or watching by webcam who doesn't know You as Lord and Savior, may they, as we pray now, just say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I don't know it all, but I know enough to know that I'm lost. And I'd like to be found. I'd like to be part of the church, not join one. I'd like to be part of Your body. I'd like to be born again. And if the Spirit of God will do that for me, I will be so thankful. You don't have to come up here. You don't have to talk to the preacher. You have to talk to Jesus and say, Lord, I love you. Please save me. For whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. In Christ's name I pray, and for his holy sake, amen.
I've ever seen.